Welcome to Infusion, prophetic moment live open forum radio broadcast. Here are Americus Cheney, apostle of Sons and Daughters of Elijah Covenant Fellowship, and Dr. Clarice Cheney, senior pastor of Soul Harvest Ministries.
Well, good evening. God bless everybody out there in the radio land. We honor you for being a part. Y'all got to forgive me. My voice kind of scratchy a little bit. But we're honored, amen, to be here today. And
I'm Dr. Clarice Cheney.
My beautiful, lovely wife.
Glad to be right with you again.
Amen. Amen. And we're glad to be with you. We have the honorable, amen, international prophet with us. Prophet Brian Karn, bless you, sir.
Oh, my goodness. How y'all doing?
Amen. And then
oh, yes. I'm honored to be in the house tonight, Brother Fidel, a.k.a. the Bald Eagle.
The Bald Eagle. Amen. And so we're just honored, man of God, you being with us. And we know we want you to tell somebody, amen, to listen to the radio and get your ears correct, because this man of God, he's just going to pour into you some things that we're going to talk about. We heard him at KCC, one of his churches there in St. Mary's, Georgia. We went there to visit, and he was saying some powerful things. And also, I viewed a video of his, and he says some awesome things that I believe that is going to bring those that don't understand kingdom and don't understand who they are and God into revelation concerning. But I want to quote the scripture real quick, and we're just going to let the man of God bless you. It's found in Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to start at the fifth verse. It says he predestined us. This is ESV version transliteration, us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has blessed us in beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. And then it goes on and talks about who we are in the kingdom of God and who Jesus is. So the man of God, he began to talk about concerning salvation, and we understand that study of soteriology, ecclesiology in that. And I believe, we're just going to release him. There are those that think that God is standing up with a switch, man of God, waiting to hurt us, and he's a hateful God, and we're called unto wrath, but according to the word of God, he is not appointed unto wrath. You were saying some things, man of God, when you was pastoring at KCC, and it literally blew my mind. There's some things that my spirit is connected to that. I've been preaching that for many years, but we want you to express that to the people of God, those that are hearing.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm grateful to be here. I think the first thing that the church needs to understand is God never responds to you. God responded at Calvary. So our whole teaching, our whole belief system, all the things that we're doing, I'm giving this amount of money so God can bless me. I'm praising to make God move for me. I mean, I did all that. I taught all that. Taught what I was taught. But in actuality, Christ never responds to me. In actuality, I'm responding to him. We Amen. Love him because he first loved us. So everything is already done. And I think that's what people have to begin. I give the premise of Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. When God made Adam, God said, I give you everything you need. Around verse 26, 27, 28, 29. I give you every herb-bearing seed is for your meat. Everything that you're ever going to need was already provided, which means that in the garden, all air that would ever be created, God yes. created in the beginning.
Yes.
The Bible declares in Genesis chapter 2, verse 1, that the Lord ceased from his work. He rested on the seventh day. And he didn't rest because he was tired. He rested because he was finished. It was complete. It's a done deal. And when he rested, man entered into that Sabbath rest. Now, again, a lot of you believe that, you know, if you don't go to church on a certain day, you whatever. But Sabbath was never a day of worship. It was a day of rest.
Amen.
And man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for man. Well, we entered into a rest on that day. And Hebrews chapter 4 declares, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. We cease from works. No longer is the Sabbath a day to the new covenant believer. The Sabbath is a person. And our Sabbath wow. is fulfilled in Christ.
Yes.
Right? So everything was done in the book of Genesis. He gave us everything that we're ever going to need. Everything that we're ever going to need was done. God made all the air he was going to need. in one of those trees, he put enough seed. Y'all got to catch this. In one of those trees, he put enough seed. And from that tree, it has lasted all the way up to 2018.
Come on now.
Amen. Okay.
You have to think about that. Take a minute and think about that. Because I want you, God isn't doing nothing else. He's rest. He's seated. He's done. Mm-hmm. That's what I want you to get. So when you say, I'm trying to get God to move, you're wrong. Because God ain't stuck. So he's not going to move. He moved at Calvary. Yes. God is done doing what he's going to do. He made all the air. He was going to make the Bible declares and Ecclesiastes, whatever the Lord does, he does forever. He don't add nothing to it. Neither does he take anything away. All right. The Bible declares that there's nothing new under the sun, and God requires those things which are past. Everything is already done. I need y'all to get that. So all the plants that was ever going to be made, he put it in a plant. God created everything. He made enough air to last for forever. What do you mean enough air to last for forever? That means that when a baby is born, God does not create more air. The mother does not have to ask for more air for the baby to breathe after she have the baby.
Yeah.
All the baby has to do is receive the air that's already been provided.
Amen.
Everything you need has already been done in the spirit. So Adam did not pray because he had a need. And I think we have a bad revelation of what prayer is.
Come on,
we don't pray to God for needs. The whole purpose of prayer is for relationship. It was for communion. Remember, Adam didn't have no needs. Adam was in paradise. He didn't have a problem. He didn't have no children to pray for. He didn't have no son that was acting crazy. He didn't have no daughter that was having a baby out of wedlock. He didn't have no problem. He didn't have no needs. Everything he needed was on the tree. Yes. All he had to do was walk to the tree. He didn't have to ask for nothing. Mm-hmm. His whole purpose of, yet even though he had no needs, God came and met with him every day in the cool of the day. Can you imagine what they talked about?
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine their conversation? Had nothing to do with needs. It had nothing to do with that. 98% of your prayer life should be communion, loving on God.
Jesus.
Tell him how wonderful he is, how great he is, how powerful he is. That's what your whole worship and prayer life should be about.
Amen.
But this church has become so carnal. You go to God and you ask him for this and you ask him for that. You're binding the devil. Either the devil is defeated or he's not. 1 John 3:8. For this cause was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So I took you to the premise of Genesis, that God, everything was already done with Adam. Everything was already done. All Adam had to do was receive what had already been provided.
Yes.
If he got hungry, he didn't even have to ask God for food. All he had to do was go get it.
Yes.
Now, some of you can't do that because y'all call that work. All right. But he didn't have to do nothing. Everything he needed was already provided. Then Paul came into the book of Ephesians and gave us the same revelation in verse 3. He said, blessed be the Lord God who's blessed us. Now, you already blessed. You can't get more blessed. You can't give $10,000, gonna make you more blessed. You can't get somebody to lay hands on you, make you more blessed. You keep going to God, Lord, would you please bless me?
Mm.
That's bad teaching.
Mm.
You're already blessed. You've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you're blessed. Not only are you blessed, verse 4 said you were chosen. When did he choose you? I chose you before the foundation of the world. I preempted you before I started you. I chose you before the foundation of the world. Then after he chose me, the Bible say he predestinated me.
Yes.
And then after he predestinated me, verse 6 say, I've been accepted into the beloved. Now I need you to get this, because this is before I've done anything. I'm already blessed. I'm already chosen. I'm already predestinated, and I've already been accepted. That word accepted, the only other place we see that word accepted is when the angel told Mary, you have been highly favored.
Yes.
Now, if you have been accepted into the beloved, that means that God is as pleased with you as he is with Jesus.
Thank you.
Jesus, yes.
So everything you're doing to try to get God to be pleased with you, you can't, because you're already blessed. You're already chosen. You've already been predestinated. And you already been accepted into the beloved. But verse 18, I believe, is the most powerful part of Ephesians chapter 1. That the eyes of your understanding.
Yes.
Would be. God said, you blessed. You chose. You just don't know it.
Mm.
So the whole job of the preacher is to get your eyes open.
Yes.
To come to a revelation of who you already are. And that's what I'm really trying to bring the body of Christ into this place. That you are already chosen. Had nothing to do with your works. He came to the next chapter in Ephesians chapter 2 and said, you're saved by grace through faith.
Through faith, yeah.
That not of yourselves. Now, I think a lot of people mess up because We teach the grace message, but we don't couple it with faith. It has to be married to faith.
Yes.
Grace alone is not enough. If grace alone saved you, everybody's saved. Mm-hmm. Because Titus 2:11 said the grace of this gospel has appeared unto all men. So yes. If grace is enough to save, mm-hmm. and grace has appeared to all men would be saved.
Yes.
But grace is not enough. You are saved by grace through faith.
Yes.
It is the gift of God. So grace provides everything, but faith is the hand that goes and reach and grabs what grace has already provided.
Amen.
So it's just like this. It's just like sodium. Too much sodium will kill you. Too much chloride will kill you. But the right amount of sodium and the right amount of chloride gives you a needful ingredient called salt. Some of us have got too much grace.
Yes.
And some of us got too much faith. And because of that, you're poisoned.
Jesus.
But if we get a right balance of grace and faith, then we'll have a needful ingredient called salvation. So I'm really trying to get the people of God to come into this revelation. And of course, it's tough for some of you because, you know, religion has bound you up, mm-hmm. made you think God's mad at you. He's upset with you, mm-hmm. sitting in heaven, ready to beat you down. And a lot of things that y'all say the Holy Ghost is convicting you about, that's a lie, because the Holy Ghost only convicts of one sin. According to John chapter 16, verse 8, he only convicts the world of unbelief, mm-hmm. yes. because they believe not on me. That's the sin of unbelief. A lot of things that y'all say the Holy Ghost is convicting is not the Holy Ghost, it's your conscience.
Jesus.
You see, a lot of things you attribute to the Holy Ghost is your conscience, but your conscience has been amplified by religion. What makes you different? If you say the Holy Ghost is what convicts you, well, we say Muslims don't have the Holy Ghost, which I agree with you. We say Muslims don't have the Holy Ghost. But if a Muslim sleeps with somebody else's wife, he feels bad. Who's convicting him? If you don't have the Holy Ghost, it's his conscience.
Yes.
And there's a lot of things that we blame on the Holy Ghost. That is, I'm getting ready to teach next year a teaching on the positive ministry of the Holy Spirit.
Jesus.
That he convicts the world of unbelief.
Yes.
That's what he convicts you of. And notice it didn't say he convicts the church. It said he convicts the world. He reproves the world
yes.
of sin. And it's sin because they believe not on me. The first group of people going to hell, Revelation 21:8, is the fearful and the unbelieving.
Unbeliever, yes.
Why? Because if you don't have that, you'll do the rest.
Yes.
So I'm really trying to get the people to understand that God ain't mad at you. Mm-hmm. God's in love with you. Mm-hmm. According to Romans chapter 5, while you were yet sinners, he died for the ungodly. According to 2 Corinthians 5, he's not imputing men's sins on. He's not. He is not imputing your sins on you. Your sins was dealt with at Calvary.
Wow.
You have to get that. Jesus came. He is not mad at you because of your sin.
Yes.
Jesus took on the wrath of God yes. at Calvary. Yes. That was taken care of at Calvary.
Yes.
And your morality, your living right, should be the fruit of your love for him. See, in the Old Testament, your actions. See, in the Old Testament, God judged you based on your actions because you didn't have nothing on the inside. So he judged you based on what you did. When you came to the new covenant, which was grace, which really is a higher standard.
Mm-hmm.
The old covenant says don't commit adultery. Jesus says forget doing it. If you look upon a woman to lust after her, you've already committed adultery in your heart. So the real question is, what's your motive? And some of you out there living for God, you know, you keep saying, say, I ain't been with a man in 20 years. Yeah, but you done had a lot of orgasms in your bed by yourself.
Jesus.
Yeah. So you kill the person who participates mm-hmm. and did it with their body, but you say nothing to the person who did it in their mind.
Yes.
You understand?
Mm.
And the Bible declared in Proverbs 6:16 to the Lord, hey, seven are abomination. One is a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations.
Yes.
Now, we focus on the sins that you see.
Yes.
But God focuses on the sins that you can't see.
Mm.
We focus on the sins of the flesh. He focuses on the sins of the heart.
Yeah. Come on, preacher. Come on.
How powerful is the testimony of most of us? I mean, we really don't see it. You know, preacher got mad at me the other day. I used to teach all of this stuff. I don't believe the Holy Ghost departs from us anymore. Period. Mm-hmm. Not under the new covenant.
Mm-hmm.
I don't compare myself to Samson. He didn't have the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
And he didn't have the covenant that the Holy Ghost would abide with you forever.
Yes.
Lo, I'm with you always, even always. To the end of the world. Mm-hmm. He doesn't leave you. You can leave. You can turn. Mm-hmm. And your heart can become hardened through sin. Yeah. But the Holy Ghost will never leave you. Look at the prodigal son. Mm-hmm. Look at the daddy.
Yes.
He never left. That's the true. Father never changed his position. It was the son who left.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And we always focus on the prodigal son, but that is not about the son. It's about the love of the Father.
Yes.
That amen. No matter how far that son went,
that's right.
Daddy was there. And not only was Daddy there, mm-hmm. when Daddy seen him afar off,
mm-hmm. hey.
The Bible declares that Daddy ran toward him.
Yes.
That's the love of God.
Yes.
Let me tell you what the love of God is. He pursues me when I'm wrong.
Yes, yes. Come on, preach. Yes.
Glory to God. Yes. He doesn't get rid of me. He doesn't throw me away.
Yes. Right.
The world throws me away. Church folks say, I'm done with you.
Yes.
The Bible declares that when the prodigal son came home, he said, make me a servant. Don't that sound like some of y'all church folk? Somebody have a baby, they can't usher. Somebody do something wrong, you sit them down. You can't mm-hmm. do nothing for 3 months. We sit you down. We done did all that. But guess what Daddy said? Get him a ring. Get him a coat.
Hey.
And treat him just like he never left.
Yes, Lord.
Because he's a son. He might have been lost, but he's a son.
Thank
he
you.
Might have went away, but he's a Lord, son. The love God. Of God is no matter how jacked up I am,
mm-hmm.
he pursues me. He's patient with me. He's rich in mercy.
Yes.
His kindness toward me. And I need you to understand that the reason you can't fall in love with him is because you don't have a revelation of his love toward you.
Come on, that's
a
right.
A new
right.
commandment I write unto you, that you love one another as I, John 13:34, has loved you, even so you love one another. Verse 35, and by this shall all men know you're my disciples, by the love you have one for another. Get a revelation of his love.
Mm-hmm.
That man is in love with you.
Yes.
He's crazy about you. There is nothing you can do to change his mind. As I tell you, according to Romans 11:29, the gift and calling of God are without repentance. They're irrevocable.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That don't mean you don't have to repent. That means that God doesn't repent.
Yes.
That means he never changes his mind about you.
Yes.
Why he don't change his mind? Because he's eternal.
Yes.
And if God is moved by what I do, then it limits his omniscience.
Come on.
He knows everything.
Amen.
So
that's
nothing
right.
I did snuck up on him.
Yes,
he know my thoughts mm-hmm. are
yes,
far off.
Yes.
And I'm glad to know he's in love with me. And guess what? If a man could love me like this,
mm-hmm.
how much more will I love him? So I'm not saying you don't live moral. I used to live moral and I still live moral. But my morality is live and is based on my love for God.
Yes.
Not on me thinking he going to beat me down.
Yes.
Not on me thinking I'm going to hell. He going to get me. God, I'm saved, y'all. I'm as saved as I can be. Now, let me tell you something. I've been saved. I like to say this. You know, I'm a young man, but I've been saved over 20 years now. Just sound good to say that. But anyway, I've been saved, been with God a long time. But let me tell you something. If you get saved tonight, you just as saved as I am.
Yes.
We are identical twins in the spirit.
Amen.
And I want you to get this.
So no, Prophet, man, because and there are those out there, and I'm going to quote this scripture because you may be out there and you may say something concerning what the man of God said. Well, he's speaking of eternal life predestination. It said, once saved, always saved. But watch this, what it says in Ephesians. Y'all bear with me. It said, in him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his own will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth of the gospel of your salvation, believed in him and were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. When you're sealed, that is just as a king put his stamp or his seal on something, cannot be broke or it's irrevocable.
Yeah.
So you're sealed until the day of redemption.
Mm.
So when we talk about that, we're speaking of the eternal redemption that is the purpose and the intent of God.
Mm.
And so it's all through the word of God, beloved, those that are hearing. I have this thing about the slavery mentality, as if, and it's in the Pentecostal church, and y'all forgive me, I'm trying to tell you, because we were taught, well, I wasn't raised in the church, you know, mm-hmm. but at the same time, when I came to church, we was told to do this and do that. And that what was taught Apostle Donaldson and Prophet yes. Carr, that is the love of God is the one that causes you to be strengthened. We never was taught to come into the integrated relationship with the set apart spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. And so we was taught that it's by works. Yeah. And see, and so you call on him, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I thought that's the only way you get the Holy Ghost. That's not scripture. The mm-hmm. Bible said that heaven heard what was done into Samaria. So then the apostles into Samaria, James and John, they lay hands upon them. They received the Holy Ghost. Yes, the preaching of Peter, amen, in the house of Cornelius, which was a centurion soldier, received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So there's a lot of things, erroneous teachings that we have heard over the years. And I agree with you much, prophet, because in this time, in this season, we're needing to know our identity based on the atonement of the Messiah and what he has done, the fullness of it. I have health, even though there may be issues and situations. I have health. I have long life because he shall satisfy me with what?
Long life.
If I worship him, would give me bread and bless my blood and my water. You know, and so we don't come with these things. Of course, we're not telling you that you could go out there, do what you want to do, because if you live by grace, through the mercies of God, you want to live in obedience to the Lord anyway. He said, they that love me shall obey me. If you obey me, you love me. If you love me, you obey me. I mean, hear, O Israel, the love of your Lord God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul. So, but what happens is that we forget to tell the people to identify with the nature and the atonement. When we preach that it's a works mentality, then you make the cross to none effect. You're telling Jesus he hasn't done enough.
Right.
Past, present, and future prophet, like you said, the perpetual high priest entered one time in the holies of holies, offering himself up. He became the priest, the door. He became that living sacrifice. And he shed his blood once, perpetually. This scripture's in the book of Hebrews. But why are we not teaching this, Apostle Donaldson, real quickly?
Well, let me just say quickly, I mean, there's just some great revelation being unpacked here. It's so profound what Prophet Karn spoke about, and also what Apostle America spoke about. You know, it's not the preaching of hell that draws people. The Bible said through love and kindness, right, have I drawn thee. And when you look at Jesus when he walked the earth, it wasn't sinners who were the major obstacles to his ministry, right? It was Pharisaical religion, which means to bind, a system that's based on works, trying to do it through human effort and self-will. And the man of God brought it forth so succinctly. Peter said, all things that pertaineth unto life and godliness has already been given unto us.
Yes.
You know, God has already released everything that pertaineth unto life, that word Zoe there, the God kind of life, right?
Yes.
The eternal life. And this is not, we're not giving that to the people as a church. We're trying to tell them about the do's and don'ts. Now, can you imagine Prophet Karn, if any of us having a child or a grandchild that, say, you know, fell into some type of mischief, got on drugs and been out in the world system in the wilderness for many years, and all of a sudden they begin to come back home, filthy, smelly, tattered, battered, and bruised. Are we going to look at them and say, well, you can't come in the house? Come on. You can't even come near the house.
Yes.
No, we're going to love them. We're going to bring them in. Yes. We're going to clean them. We're going to feed them. We're going to give them the best. We're going to say, go to your room.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. Why is it in the church, as the man said, said, that when someone falls because of what, you know, these so-called sexual sins or whatever, all of a sudden we want to sit them down.
Yes.
All of a sudden love goes out the window.
Yes.
That's what draws them. It's not threatenings of hell or threatenings of beating them over the head with a Bible. It's the love and kindness. And one more thing I want to say quickly concerning the predestination. This is fascinating. God told Jeremiah that before you were formed
in
your mother's womb, I knew thee. That same word that's found in Genesis, Adam knew Eve, that yada, in intimacy. I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb, and that I chose you and anointed you and appointed you. So there's an essence to all of us that God knew. Salvation didn't just begin for us when we accepted Jesus.
Come on now.
He knew us before we were ever formed in our mother's womb.
Yes.
He predestined. That means our destiny was set in God before the foundation of the world. You said so many profound things, man of God. And one of them was this. God finished. He rested on the seventh day, right?
Yes.
So we're not trying to. What we need to do is enter into the move
rest
of God and that rest, right?
Yes.
You, what do you mean you're trying to get God to move?
That's right. That's right.
God has finished this move,
yes, and
right?
We move in him.
The reason why Jesus came is to give us access to the move of God.
Yes.
So instead of trying to get God to move on our behalf, we need to access and get into the move of God.
Come on, and that's powerful, like, because what we're telling you guys out there, and what the man of God, Prophet Carden and Apostle Fidel just said, was you have to understand is that if your mind is so satiated, and that's an old Germanic term, if it's so caught up on the fact that I got to get myself out of hell, mm-hmm. then how can you be effective in the kingdom?
Mm-hmm.
You're so turned up. Well, if I do this, I'm going to go with them into hell now, Lord Jesus. Well, that's not scripture, period.
No.
Paul said, I press not to stay out of hell, mm-hmm. but I press for the mark
of the heart,
yes. of the heart calling, mm-hmm. that I may
yes.
know him,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the fellowship of his sufferings and the mm-hmm. power of his resurrection, not to stay out of hell. And this erroneous teachings, and we're not telling everybody, giving you permission to do this, because I hear a lot of people, man, they're trying to say that you can just do what you want to do, go where you want to go, child. Go ahead, Prophet.
Folks saying whether you're getting permission or not.
Yes. and talk about the conscience thing that can double powerful.
Another thing I think people need to understand, and I think this is where I got to stand up because I'm getting happy. I think this is another thing we got to understand. You keep determining whether you're saved based on what you're doing in your flesh.
Mm-hmm.
God is spirit. Mm-hmm. So whenever God relates to us, he relates to us in the spirit.
Yes.
St. John 4. The Bible declares God is the spirit. They that worship him must worship him how? In spirit and in truth. So God relates to you in the spirit. Well, guess what you are? You are a spirit. You have a soul and you live in a body.
Mm-hmm.
And the part of you that is sealed unto the day of redemption is not your flesh. It is not. It's your spirit man.
Yes.
So you may sin, but your spirit man never sins.
Come on, preacher.
You may sin in your soul and it affect your emotions. You may sin in your body and it may bring infirmity. But your spirit man has been sealed unto the day of redemption.
Yes.
Your spirit man is perfect according to 1 John. He said, as I am in this world, so are you.
Come on now.
Right now. He said, as I am. That means your spirit man, right now in your belly,
yes,
is a 33-year-old Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Full mature. Your spirit man is mature. That's the confidence that you have. One time I got ready to pray for somebody and I said, Lord, I ain't been on a fast. And he took me to 1 Timothy 1. I counted you faithful.
Come on now.
See, it has nothing to do with my prayer and my intercession and my dedication and my commitment. All of this stuff is wrong. I'm just trying to tell you. A.A. Allen went on a 13-day fast to get power, right? Mm. Jack Cole say, I'm going to Burger King, I'm going to drink a Coke, and I'm going to just believe God.
Come on.
It's according to your faith.
Yes.
Be it unto you.
Glory.
Saints, God's in love with you.
Yes, he
get
is.
Get that in your spirit.
Yes.
I don't have all night, but if you don't get nothing else from me today, mm-hmm. just get this. God's in love with you. He's not mad at you. He's not imputing your sins against you. And listen, you're talking to the most Pentecostal person you can meet in your life.
Mm-hmm.
I came up, we couldn't drink root beer. They told us if it got beer in it, okay? We couldn't do nothing wrong. All right. Mm-hmm. I come through holiness, but let me tell you something. There's no other way.
Mm-hmm.
There's another name given unto men whereby men must be saved. Other than the name Jesus. So here's all I'm trying to tell you. Stop working to the cross and work from the cross.
Oh.
That's all I'm trying to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
God knew you in eternity before you ever met him in time. And you are living
powerful
in reverse. Yes.
Oh my God. Yes. That's awesome.
That's all I want to tell you.
Awesome.
God's in love with you. He's not mad at you. The Bible declares that you're a new creature now. You don't have a sin conscience.
Mm.
You got a God conscience.
Come on.
So let me my time up. I love y'all.
Amen. And hopefully you could be with us second segment.
Okay, yeah, I guess.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's to the hands of Dr. Chain.
We're not letting the prophet out of the room.
Amen. Praise God. No, we're not. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. We're getting ready to have the second segment.
We're going
Amen.
Straight in or?
Yes.
Okay.
Amen. But we thank you for joining us. Amen. We'll meet you on the second segment. Amen. Amen. You be blessed.
Thanks for joining us for Infusion with Americus and Clarice Cheney. If you would like to correspond with or contact this ministry, you can follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And visit them online at soulharvestfamilyworshipministries.org.